Praise the Lord. We are so grateful that we can find ourselves in the Word, and we hear it again and again from the mouth of Brother Branham, that the bride church will be a word bride. And this word bride is somewhere in the Word. She is one with the bridegroom and has only one desire, to be more intimately united with him and also to be joined with one another in his love. We have heard wonderful words, and it is my nature to delve into each word. In the prophet Malachi, we have heard that those who fear the Lord, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with salvation under its wings, not with calamity, with salvation, with blessing, with grace, with mercy, with salvation, with healing, with everything that belongs with it. Wherever the Lord really reveals himself, happens that what happened when he walked here on earth. And what happened? He saved, he healed, he delivered, he blessed, he received and turned to those who were outcast and rejected by others. And in this word, in Hebrews, we have read, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. If there was only work, then we and he could forget it too. But it is not only work, it is work and love. It is the work in the kingdom of God that is done in the love of God for the blessing and salvation of God's people. What God did was love manifested. Golgotha is God's love manifest to you and me, to all of us. A songwriter sings, "Oh, God's love, so free and pure from old and always new." And here it says, "To forget your work and labor of love." A work in the kingdom of God that is not embedded in the love of God will bring no blessing. It will be I-related and will not achieve the goal that is supposed to be achieved. Any work that is done in the kingdom of God must be done in the love of God. And it says here, "Which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints, and do minister." Yes, sir, to the saints, the beloved in Christ, the called out ones, the pardoned, the chosen ones, to them it was ministered in love, or on them the service has been done. All others will pass it by and will not accept it. Then it says, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end."
Mit voller Gewissheit festzuhalten.
not only those who are active in the kingdom of God, in the love of God, but all are to demonstrate in the same zeal, in the same love, and this until the end, until the Lord returns to take his own home. Then it goes on to say, that ye be not sluggish, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Yes, there is a great cloud of witnesses of those who persevere in faith under every circumstance, in every situation, in sunshine and in rain, in light and in darkness, who have just held on because they have been held by God and have been seized by the Word. You know, even if sometimes we want to give up, if we want to let go, He does not give up. He doesn't let go. He has done too much on us to let us go again. After all, He has not redeemed us with corruptible things, with silver or gold, but with His own precious, holy blood. That is the price with which you and I have been purchased. And because of this precious price, we too have become something precious in the eyes of God. You all know, a high price is paid for a valuable thing. The more valuable the thing, the higher the price. And here there was no price which could be fixed with earthly values. Here a price had to be paid that could no longer be comprehended with a human intellect and not be measured with our mind. Here was a price that had never been paid before, namely the blood of the Lamb. That is how precious you and I are in the eyes of God. And because He loved us so dearly, you all know that when people pay high prices for certain things, then they have a special taste for something. They want to have that thing. Here our Lord has purchased people in whom outwardly there was nothing to be seen, but He has already seen us, how we will be after the perfection has taken place, and we will be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. He has already seen the end before the beginning. You and I may belong to this multitude whom He loved and saved. I myself still have to think of the word from yesterday evening and have read about it very briefly in Ezra. We have also heard it of the singers and know that we are placed in a spiritual battle. But without a battle, there is no victory, and without victory, there is no crown. So things are not made easy for us. On the contrary, they are made difficult for us. But one day, everything will be left behind, and we will go to the Lord. As Brother Branham says at the end of the film that we have all seen, he said, Lord, one day we will come to you after the last battle is over and the Bible is closed and everything is finished, we will come to your house. We will sit at your table, and you will come out as king and wipe away all tears from our eyes. And you will say, weep no more, it is all over. Oh, what a day that will be. And we long for it to happen soon. Here in Ezra 3, second part of verse 1, it says, and the children of Israel were in the cities. The people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Notice this thought. They were all in their cities, but they came together as one man in Jerusalem. We are all scattered, one here, the other there, but we come together to be built up. And I tell you, I am blessed by every song that is sung, by every word that is read, by every thought that is expressed in some way. It goes on to say, then stood up Yeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brethren, the priests, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and rebuilded the altar of the God of Israel, to offer burnt offerings thereon, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. They set about rebuilding not only the house of God, but also the altar of God, to make God gracious. We know it is one altar and one Lamb of God that was placed on that altar, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And when we come together, we look to the sacrificial Lamb of Calvary, which was offered for you and for me. In verse 10 it is written, and when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, the king of Israel. And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. How wonderful! Returned, and then they went to work. The foundation was laid, the altar built up immediately. One invoked Moses, the other to David. Everything was put in its place, what the men of God commanded by the Spirit. And we may say that in our time, we call it the end time message, that everything from Moses to Revelation has been summed up and put in its proper place. Only we also have to let ourselves be put in the right place. That is the trouble. There are enough who think they are masters of the scriptures and masters of the message, and they are fiddling around with it, and they can arrange things according to their own opinion. But that's not the end of it. You and I, We have to let ourselves be placed, let ourselves be arranged, that we find our place. It is not only a question of seeing the mysteries of God in the right order and to have understood the development of the plan of salvation. It is about that just as God has revealed His Word to us and put all things in their proper place, in the right light, and where they belong, we too must by grace take the place that God has intended for us. Only then will things work out. If we could arrange all the mysteries and see the development of the plan of salvation, it would be of no use to us, and the consummation could not take place. If God could not also include you and me in His plan, so that we not only put all things in order, but are ourselves put in order and placed where God wants us to be. That's the thing that matters now. Not only that we classify and place until we can't classify anymore, but that we ourselves are classified and find our place. The sooner this happens, the sooner God will fulfill what is still outstanding in all of us by grace. But now quickly to chapter 4 in Ezra. Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, Let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Assur. Do you notice one thing here? They were the adversaries of Judah, the enemies of those who returned, who had not belonged there at all. And when they heard that those who had returned, those who had been brought out, those on whom God had had mercy and on whom He turned His face to, when they saw that they started to work to rebuild the temple of the Lord, then the adversary said, We will build together with you. What kind of proposal is this? What kind of thing is this? There come the enemies, are the adversaries, and say, We will build together with you. You know, God can do without people like that, and we can also do without that, because they will only build with us until they can take advantage of the matter. And then suddenly the whole building collapses, because they applied their tricks everywhere. I wish we had had the wisdom of Zerubbabel and seen through all these things. But well, God has allowed it to happen this way. After all, He alone knows why. It says here, Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, Let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do. and we do sacrifice unto him, and so forth. Here is a very great lesson. One was the people with God's promise, who had justifiably returned and who themselves had been given the responsibility from God to rebuild the house of God. The others just joined them. They wanted to take part in this whole program and simply said, "We have the same God. We also offer sacrifices since the days of so-and-so." That's not what matters at all. Only those who are really called out, who truly belong to the people of God, only those whom God has ordained to belong to his house, they are to be put together as living stones. And I think that now in all of us a very deep longing has come up to experience this divine love, to pass it on, not only to be in a position to receive it, but also to distribute it and pass it on. For the work of God must and will find its completion in divine love. But you see, the moment these men of God gave them the answer, it was over. Then these people, who were so eager to build, they turned around. Let us read it from verse 3. But Zerubbabel and Yeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, "Ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us." What had happened here? No compromises were made here. This man did not say, "Well, fine, if you like, you can go along and join us." No, he said that it was impossible for us to build together a temple to our God. We alone want to do it. At the moment, it looks and sounds as if this man of God thought to be something special and that he exalted himself and said, "We alone, not you, we alone." You know, he got it into his heart by the Spirit of God. And we can be grateful to God that he renounced the help of the adversaries from the beginning. He saved himself a lot of hardship and misery. And so God gave him the right thought. You know, as Brother Branham said, you cannot enter the family of God by joining it. You have to be born into it. And the Israelites were born as Israelites. And the others have been following a certain time and sacrificed to the God of Israel. And the God of Israel did not watch at all when they sacrificed, because they did not belong to his people. By grace, we may belong to the people of God in this time. And because this is so, we will find that the difficulties that are now actually occur and have not only occurred there, but at all times, that God will help to go through it. Let us read quickly from chapter 5. Then the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, whose Spirit was upon them. What a wonderful word! Whose Spirit was upon them. And the Spirit that was upon these prophets, according to the word of God, brought forth all that was determined for that time. This is also how it happened in this time. Everywhere where the will of God is to be proclaimed according to the word of God, the Spirit of God must rest on us, and not only on those who bring the message, but also on all who hear it. Verse 2. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Yeshua, the son of Josedek, began to rebuild the temple of God in Jerusalem. The prophets of God were with them, supporting them. Do we realize what was then? The prophetic message was a support for this people. They received instruction. They got courage. They had orientation. They knew their turn, where they were. For wherever God's prophetic word is proclaimed, people have a spiritual orientation. Where the word of prophecy is not, people do not have a spiritual orientation. Then we read from verse 9. Then asked we those elders, and said unto them thus, Who commanded you to build this house, and to make up these walls? We asked their names also, to certify thee, that we might write the names of the men that were the chief of them. And thus they returned us answer, saying, We are the servants of the God of heaven and earth, and built the house that was builded these many years ago, which a great king of Israel builded and set up. You all know, you can read it at home, how many difficulties were encountered during the construction of the temple. These people became their enemies. The adversaries stoked the whole matter, and the building of the temple was to be stopped, and it went to the highest level. But God's hand ruled over his own. He was with them and foiled every human plan and gave strength and grace to his own to persevere and to carry out and complete the work. You know, if we had started, we could also stop, and then we would have already stopped. But because God has begun, He cannot stop. He will finish unto the day of the glorious return of our beloved Lord, who purchased us so dearly and who has loved us. Everything that happened in the Old Testament is, after all, symbolized in allegories and shadow images for the development of the New Testament church. It has been written down that we learn from it, but sometimes we learn the lessons a little hard, a little late, but not too late. Thanks be to our God, not too late. But in due time, we may also see all things in the light of God. And we know that if the Lord has promised to restore all things, and the word we heard from the prophet Malachi, right behind it comes the promise, "Behold, I send you the prophet Elijah, and all who fear the name of the Lord will put their trust in God, who will raise them up with salvation under His wings, and they will listen to the voice of God's word, to the message that is before us in this time, before the terrible day of the Lord dawns. Everything interlocks and is beautifully distributed in the Holy Scriptures. Sometimes the most precious things are hidden the deepest. They are not on the surface, so that everyone can scratch around in them. They are deeply hidden. And when we hear again and again what was been hidden since the foundation of the world, God has revealed in these last days. And then there are people who say, "Huh, we have always known everything." Thank God, I am not one of them. I have not known many things, but by the grace of God, we may accept it, whether it suits us or not. I tell you, whoever does not like God's word and who does not put it on will not be made fit for the building of God and will not be put into it at all. And whoever thinks he can take out what he likes, he cannot please God. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word. And it is precisely the word that you and I do not like to accept, precisely that word we have to accept, because there lies the sore point where we are sick, and God wants to make us healthy, and therefore He sent His word to make us well, not to turn us into some people who discuss this or that point, but to heal us in the sick place, to heal this sick point where we have all been sick. These God revealed to make us well. God sent His word and made them well. And what did we hear from Brother Branham in that one sermon? He said, if someone is sick and goes to see the doctor, and he just prescribes an aspirin tablet, then he's just trying to get rid of us. He didn't care about us in that case. But when He feels the pulse, checks the blood, when He does a real checkup, then He finds the cause. And from there, the treatment begins. And I say again, God's revealed word has been applied to the Church of the Lord in all the places where we have been sick and where we need to recover. And that is why we must take this divine medicine and let everything pass over us. Otherwise, we will not be able to recover. If there had not been a sick body of the Lord, then God would not have had to send His healing word at all. Do we not see here the faithfulness of our God? He says, "The healthy have no need of the physician, but the sick do." And we sometimes do not know what we are sick with because we do not go to the Lord our physician, but we go to man. And Asa, that was such a man. He went to the doctors instead to the Lord. And you know, in spiritual things, no preacher can doctor around. In spiritual things, we have to go to the doctor of all doctors, and that is our Lord. And He knew exactly the prescription which had to be applied. And He knew what we need in order to recover. God did not heal us where we were healthy. God wanted to meet us at the points where we were sick in order to start the treatment there to make us healthy. The Lord is our physician, also in spiritual terms, and He sends His word to make us well. But you know how the thing is. When you take the word in the mouth, it is sweet at first. But when you swallow it down and digest it, oh, then everything cramps together. And the prophet Ezekiel says, after he had swallowed the scroll with all the sighs and all the lamentations and complaints, in my mouth it was sweet, but within me it was bitter. What had happened? As long as the thing is only in our mouths, then it still seems sweet to us. But if we swallow it, only then does the effect really begin. And most have the word for this time in their mouth, but not in their heart. And the effect must come from the heart. One sometimes wonders that the same earthly physician who prescribes for the head, for the ears, for the nose, for all organs, a medicine, and it goes into the same stomach, and somewhere it spreads, who knows where, and every doctor prescribes every medicine, and who takes it, he has it in the stomach. I tell you, the heavenly physician, he has prescribed a lot of medicine, and all this medicine comes concentrated into your heart, and from there, everything is purified. From there, everything is put in order. Earthly medicine goes into the stomach. And as I said, no one can explain it. What one prescribes for the hand helps, and so does the other for the foot also. Everything seems to help, although everything goes into the same stomach. And do you know where the right help is? In the faith that you have that the thing helps you, and by really taking it. If you put your medicine on the desk, you won't get well. But this he will then find out. But with a spiritual medicine, it is completely different. We can't put something on the desk and cheat our way around it and then say, well, let's see, maybe it will work that way. No, it doesn't work that way. We have to take the spiritual medicine in faithfulness and honesty. Otherwise, the medicine will stay on the desk and we will also remain sitting on the chair on which we have sat down. And this should not be. God has a balm in Gilead. He has a prophetic word. He has spoken to us. And I say it for the third time. God has wanted us to recover and has found the sore spots. He has started where we were sick spiritually in order to heal us. Are you not happy about this? Do not resist the divine medicine. Take it and thank the Lord for it. And it will have its effect in your and in my spiritual life. No one will ever kick out again. I sometimes even think of the dear sisters. When Brother Branham speaks so earnestly and takes them through the ringer, so to speak, one could really sympathize, but then suddenly I am grabbed, you are grabbed, we all get grabbed. But have we even noticed it? We might think, huh, they've got it now. It's of no use. Everyone is really getting it. And everyone is sick, the whole body of the Lord. And Brother Branham says in a sermon, the sickest body I know on earth is the body of Jesus Christ. And that is how it is today. The body of the Lord is sick. The members are wounded. And what has happened? The adversaries have interfered and the construction could not be completed. May Almighty God grant grace that there will be no interfering, but that we prefer to build a divine structure with a few, but with God, rather than with many without God. The Lord knows His own. I still believe that many will find their way back and that the Lord will make them recover, even if it goes through the deepest depths. I could not imagine that people who have spent so many years under the sound of the preaching of the Word of God, that they can stand it in the long run, unless they die spiritually. Well, then no one can do anything about it. But we have a longing for God and for God's Word. And we want to come together all the more as we see the day of the Lord approaching. As Paul also writes in one place in Hebrews, as often as we can, we want to come together to be built up and edified by the grace of God. God has known exactly what we need at the end of time. And that is what He has not only prescribed for us as the great physician, but He has given it to us by grace. And this is what we want to fully accept and get well again. He sent His revealed word. Hallelujah. His medicine, the balm from Gilead. The word has been preached under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And it is a balm on all the sore places to let us recover by His grace. Blessed and praised be the name of the Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, I would like to thank You from the bottom of my heart at the end of these services for Your revealed word. O Savior, let us see Your hand in everything. We hear Your word revealed by the Holy Spirit. It is food and strength. It is medicine. Everything we need, you have given us by grace. We want to fear your name, so that you may raise us up with salvation and healing under your wings. O Lord, you have been so sorrowful for us. We thank you. You sent your word and made us well. You said in the last church age message, I counsel thee to buy gold and take eyeself and put it on your eyes so that you can see. Savior, you have made us see by grace. O faithful Lord, bless with us all your worshipping people. You know your own, and your own know thee. They hear your voice. Hallelujah. O Lord, bless all who have come to hear your word. May they be richly blessed and depart from this place joyfully, and bring us again together in your blessing. Worship and glory to your holy name of Jesus. Amen.